It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Cougars return to Provo for a battle against Wyoming this Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Keep it locked on the Zone for the best coverage of Cougar football. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper filling in for Scott Mitchell here on Unrivaled today, this afternoon, as we get you ready. Kudos to Scott and his family, because his daughter's getting married, his youngest daughter getting married, and doggone it, he took on the entire thing himself. He's the chef. He's the main decorator.
Wow, really?
I mean, kind of. He'll tell you that. No, but he did. He hustled a ton. He's like, he loves making stuff. So Scott's like a super handyman. I don't know if you know this.
I didn't know that.
He's like gets the saws out, gets everything going. He made the wedding arch and everything himself. Did all the lighting himself because he's handy like that. If you want to know about Scott Mitchell, he will build. If you want some cabinets in your garage, call Scott Mitchell. All right. He should start up a business. That's how good he is at this stuff. All right. Scott's out the next couple days as we get ready for it. But of course they had to. The schedule still revolves around Scott. His entire life, it's been that way. And so it's like his daughter's all, I'm getting married in September. It's going to be Saturday, the 25th or the 24th of September. He's all, I got to call this game this week against ASU. So
I was stunned that his daughter had a fall wedding. You know, I just thought with being in a football family,
no.
That surprised me a bit.
There's like some things that Scott couldn't have the effect on. That was one where he had to kind of just go, okay, you can get married in the fall, but it's got to be on a Friday, Thursday, Friday situation. So that you know what's funny is when I got married in the fall.
So did I,
and
actually.
And you know what's interesting is that in the business that we're in, nobody likes us to take any time off during this time. It's a bad time to take time off because of college football anyway, but back in the day on KSL Radio, they didn't allow us to take vacation during like the ratings book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember my boss going, you're getting married in November? That's really cute. We don't do that. So just next time you get married, go ahead and and schedule that thing out for summertime. And we didn't have a honeymoon until the next year because it was
wow.
Married on a Thursday, back at work on Monday.
Jeez, I'm approaching my 10-year anniversary the weekend of the Utah State
Look
game.
At you.
And I worked that in October 1st. It was is when my wife and I got married 10 years ago. And but it was always the weekend of BYU Utah State,
so which is conference.
Yeah, so
which they play early.
There'd be the weekend to have
Good
the
pick.
Anniversary.
You know what? I love that your wife has to deal with the fact that you scheduled around the Utah State BYU game every year. That's actually the thing that took precedence.
But now it's gone, though. So now I don't know if it's going to have that built-in weekend to have
it will not.
Celebrate the
well,
anniversary.
Well, that's tough. You know what? You know what's interesting is how will BYU handle conference weekend? Because the conference waits for nobody.
Yeah, Big 12 is not going to say,
nah,
we're going to accommodate, you know, preseason
we'll
session.
Push on.
And because that used to be a thing.
Right. Hey, listen.
I remember the first
year. They will not accommodate.
I remember the first year of independence. You know, Tom Homo was talking about, you know, we're just so thrilled to be part of ESPN because they scheduled a game around the women's conference. You're like, that's not happening in Power 5 football.
Listen.
That's done.
You go to the big time, you got to do big time things. And unfortunately, that might be one of them. Maybe they'll – look, there are Big 12 Friday night games, right?
Yeah, it can happen. Maybe.
Figure that out. All right. This is an interesting one. Because as Mitch is filling in for Scott here, it's a good time to be able to chat about some of the drama that's happened down at BYU. There's a massive distraction at the very least with Dallin Holker announcing that he was going to hit the transfer portal. What was the timing on this, Mitch? Like, he informed Kalani a couple days after his intentions of entering the transfer portal, which means, of course, he's not going to be playing the rest of the season for BYU to be able to maintain that red shirt. So, one, the timing was – certainly, it makes sense for him personally. But I know a lot of BYU fans, and certainly Kalani, probably looked at it. Obviously, you did the write-up on KSLSports.com about Aaron Roderick being surprised, caught off guard, and gutted, as he said it, right, that he was the Dallin Holker hit the transfer portal. What was the genesis of this thing? Like, is this totally out of left field for everyone? Or was it like, you know, we've heard rumblings about – the fact that he wishes he got a few more balls thrown to him. It wasn't like he wasn't productive at all. BYU's tight ends are being used, and Dallin Holker and Isaac Rex are, I mean, essentially splitting time. They're catching as many balls as each other, so why not? I mean, I just don't know where this is coming from.
This does feel like it's out of left field. I mean, there's talk that it could have been maybe something that's he's felt this way for a long time. That's not the sense I get. I mean, it feels like this was a total blindside deal. Holker went in on Monday morning to talk to Kalani and A-Rod, and he informed that he's going to go into the portal. Then Kalani addressed the team every single day. BYU football opens up the day in that big team meeting room in the student-athlete building, and Kalani addresses the team, and he informed him there. And Tyler Batty, on last night on Cougar Tracks, he was telling me that it was just shock.
Somber situation.
In the room. I mean, yeah. And then you kind of there's the natural element where he did say it probably will be awkward for him to be going to school still because he can't get into that portal until December 5th, and he's going to have to probably get a private trainer and train on his own and do all that stuff. It'll be awkward a little bit, but at the same time, I think that BYU is okay. But I think what's also unique, too, is that you go back to spring ball. He was tight end one, and he was the star of spring practice. And then you get to fall, and – Holker was dealing with a little bit of a knee issue in fall camp, and that's why he missed a couple weeks of fall camp. But, you know, Isaac Rex forces his way back in a way, where Aaron Roderick even said in camp, we weren't expecting Isaac.
When he did the media stuff during media day, first of all, he's limping from station to station doing the interviews, and he's like, yeah, I'm probably 75-80% maybe, and we're going –
that's very optimistic.
It doesn't. Yeah, it didn't look. And you know, even right before the season, it was, yeah, I would love to get back. Probably won't be tour until maybe those last couple games of the season. And that's, I think, maybe that's what Dallin Holker had in his head was, I'm going to be able to be tight end one. But it also still felt like he was still that guy,
yeah.
I mean, in a way.
In the passing game, for sure. I mean, it's tough to compare Rex and Holker because they're just different types of receivers. Holker's more of a guy that can line up out wide as a tight end.
He's a Dennis Pitta type,
yeah,
right?
Where Isaac Rex is more of that traditional tight end that's old school. He can be a great blocking tight end. But he's also a valuable asset in the red zone. That's why he's got 16 career touchdowns. You know, I reached out to Holker, and he even said, you know, he said that he feels he has a better opportunity to show what he can do somewhere else. And it seems like that is the theme. I mean, he just wants to have a better opportunity. You think about it, too. He also signed with BYU back before 2018. NIL is now a thing. He's going to go on the portal. He's going to be a hot commodity. I mean, you know, naturally, I think people look at Utah as a potential landing spot because Holker is married to a BYU student athlete who, last I checked, she's not going into the portal. There's no intention there. She's a track and field athlete. So if she's still at BYU, they're married. I mean, naturally, I think a lot of people would look at Utah maybe as the landing spot. With their situation, they're going to have two players moving on to the NFL.
Live
so,
in Midvale and
yeah, so
figure it out.
So I think that, you know, that's the thought. But, I mean, he's someone that could get, you know, I bet some great opportunities through NIL potentially in the transfer portal. BYU will be fine. I mean, Isaac Rex, Mason Wake, a guy like Ethan Erickson from Kahuku High School, Jaron Hall told me back in March that Ethan Erickson was one of the stars that was an underclassman who was really rising up the ranks and had a really productive spring ball with Isaac Rex out. So I think BYU's fine. It's not like a doomsday
situation. On the short term, isn't it like it's got to be a little bit of a blow to the psyche of some of these guys who are going, we just lost by a ton. And then one of our best players on offense walks out of here, and you know it's a shock to the system, and everybody puts on the good face and goes, no, we'll be fine. Aaron Roderick saying, hey, I just have to beat Wyoming here. I'm going to put the best product on the field as I can. But your product is significantly, I mean, not significantly, but it certainly is not as good when a guy like Dallin Holker's not on the roster.
Yeah.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I agree. And I think that, too, you know, I asked Roderick last night, you know, because it was unusual, too, because especially in the era of the transfer portal, this is the most shocking transfer I've seen BYU have.
Really? You think so?
At least in the portal era. I mean, there was, you go back in the archives, there's been a lot of, transfers, but in the portal era, you look back at it, the last 4 or 5 years, BYU has not lost guys that you go, oh, yeah, that's kind of self-explanatory. That guy was barely on the roster. He was not playing at all. There's not many impact guys that have left Kalani's program, and that's what kind of added the shock value. And then you're talking about the culture, love and learning, this and that. You know, the hugs from players here, hugs over there. Like, there's just this kumbaya love everywhere at BYU. And then for someone to leave, that was a bit surprising because the culture is something that's talked about a lot. And that's why I asked Roderick, I mean, do you look back on this and go, what went sideways here for this situation? He's like, you know, no, we got to move forward. I'm not worried about, you know, keeping guys happy per se. I got to keep, you know, putting together this offense and getting ready for Wyoming. So that's just the nature of football. You got to keep moving forward. But I got to imagine that's something where you go, what was the sign that could have given us this inkling
right
that this was going to end in this result? Because, yeah, I mean, A-Rod, you know, made it clear. He was pretty gutted. And I thought it was noteworthy, too. You know, I asked Roderick, you know, is the door open for him to come back? Because he can't enter that thing until December 5th at the earliest. If he wanted to have a change of heart and come back to BYU, you know, Roderick deferred to Kalani. Like, that would be a Kalani decision.
Well,
which...
but I think Kalani's attitude about the transfer portal and about guys moving from school to school, even prior to the transfer portal, has always been the same. I think it's been a massively helpful, mature kind of stance, which was, I don't want to have a guy in a situation where they're not happy.
Right.
I want these kids to be – and A-Rod kind of parroted it last night, right? But it was a little bit more along – he had a little bit of the 1,000-yard stare when he was saying it. He was like, yeah, transfer portal is what it is. And he's like, if we want these kids to be able to go wherever they want. But it cuts both ways in that sense, because you're going to get guys from programs who aren't happy. You're going to have guys leave for whatever reason.
BYU loved it last year when they got Kingsley after he left after four games.
This is the other direction, right?
You know,
so if you're going to preach that you love that these kids, we just want to put them in a place where they're going to be happy, then you got to live with it. And I've said too, I think that these athletes have enough of they have so much nowadays that goes into what this is. This is basically a profession now, right? And so if you're going to be a free agent, you've got to really be and treat it like a business and a free agent. I always hate when like a dad comes out and goes, here's what my son's thinking, you know? And so when his dad came out and said, this is why Down's leaving and stuff, it smacks a little bit of like that Charlie Brewer, like, we're taking our talents elsewhere. No one's going to take advantage of what kind of guy my son is. And I always hate that. But in the end though, Dallin Holker is his own agent right now. And even though they can have agents and stuff, but he's trying to figure out what the best version of getting him to the getting himself to the NFL is going to be. It makes sense. Everybody starts to look at the way this thing could shake out. Brant Keithy and Dalton Kincaid are leaving University of Utah likely at the end of the season to go to the NFL. You move that guy right into that. I mean, that's as good of a no drop off type of situation for Utah when it comes to the talent of a tight end. And they put guys in the NFL. So does BYU though, right? And so I think that this is a tough one for BYU. And maybe I'm making a little bit more of it, but I wonder how much of that's going to. I mean, it's a time and distance thing, right? And he's friends with a bunch of these guys on the team. You know, I'm sure that all the awkwardness that is going to happen because some guys are going to feel like you shorted them or you're not part of the team or you're making this selfish move, because we've seen it all, right, over the last day.
Well, you're seeing some subtweeting, and it's just like,
don't care. This is like, dude, listen, all of us who are not collegiate athletes have had to make decisions in our life, personally and business related, that are going to make people grumpy on one side or the other.
And I kind of, you know, honestly, on the flip side too, if you're Aaron Roderick, you get a true sense going forward of what your tight end room is heading into the Big 12. I mean, it's, you know, why do you want a guy if he's ready to exit? Better now than do it in January, where you're taking away snaps from maybe an Ethan Erickson or Mason Wake to get opportunities as a tight end. So, you know, it's never ideal to see a guy leave who's got a bright future and is talented, but hey, his potential has been higher than his production at this point. And I think that plays a role too. It's where, you know, Isaac Rex has been a guy, based on production to this point, he has been more productive than Dallin Holker, but his talent's immense. And whoever ends up getting Holker, they're getting a heck of a tight end. That guy's got a lot of talent, and I think that, hey, you only get the one chance to play college football, make the most of your opportunity, and if you got to go when you want to go, then do it.
Probably the most talented guy who left BYU, this is prior to the transfer portal, but like when the talent left, Francis Bernard was a massive hit.
It's a good pull, yeah.
Where you were like, but again, the personal circumstances, everyone kind of got it. It was like, look, there's a fit situation here, and BYU's not for everybody. And at that moment, BYU wasn't for Francis Bernard, and he said it, right? I mean, that was, and guess what he did? He went up to Utah, and he made
the
most. He made the freaking most of it. And so that's what I hope happens for these guys. I mean, the reality is, it's a bummer when a guy goes and plays for, like, you know, your big rival. There's a weirdness to it, right? And where you go, I mean, we chat with Devin Kaufusi every week. This is a guy who is entrenched in BYU, but there were some hard feelings after his dad lost his job, and so the personal circumstances change. And his move to Utah, if you ask him, it was he enjoyed his time at BYU. He loved the friendships and brotherhoods that he had there. And he loves his Utah situation. And he got to go to the Rose Bowl and play in the Rose Bowl. I mean, you know, they have these guys who are making the most of it. So I like that these guys can make these decisions on their own. It's a real bummer in the short term. But you know what? Everything moves on, right?
I mean, it does.
BYU's able to recruit. Their recruiting's getting better. And that's a good thing, knowing this.
And tight end's a position that BYU's always got a pipeline of talent. And they got some young guys waiting in the wings. Like I said, Erickson, Anthony Olson from Olympus is a name to keep an eye on.
Who's that? That Lunt kid, too?
Lane Luntz. He's more of an upperclassman senior. But, yeah, BYU's they're always going to have good tight ends, and they got a four-star next year in Jackson Bauer. So they'll be in good hands still at the tight end spot.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go here on the program. When we return, we've got our What Are the Odds around the corner. You don't want to miss it. As usual, this portion of the show brought to you by the folks at RGS Exteriors. Give your home that look for this year with the stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that new look for this year by giving them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. You can also do rgsutah.com. Easy enough to find there. We'll come back. More to go. Right around the corner, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making?
That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.